today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
This podcast comes out 5 days a week and is hosted by two guys who listen to lots of music, mainly because they lack the usual social skills expected in polite society.
Oh, that's easy. Rockin' the Suburbs.
Yes, but you forgot to answer in the form of a question.
Well done.
Okay, Patrick, we have a special guest today here on the show. Let's introduce ourselves now, because we always forget that. All right, so let's get that out of the way first. I mean, we've only done this how many, 1,100 times or something, but yet we still forget. We plow forward when we have special guests on. Anyway,
on a regular basis. Right, yeah.
The show is Rockin' the Suburbs, and we are in the suburbs of Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And joining us from all the way out in California via modern technology, we have with us special guest Murray Valeriano. Hello, Murray.
Thank you guys for having me. I'd say this a lot, but I'm excited to be here. I legitimately mean it. I've been listening to you guys for a long time.
Thank you, man.
Since the old show,
cool,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I came on, with Dad Rock, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So some listeners to our show might know Murray from another music podcast. He's a regular on Rock Solid out there in L.A. with Pat Francis. And what else do you do, Murray? You are a comedy writer and stand-up comic, right?
Yeah. I'm a stand-up comedian and a comic. Exactly what you just said.
Yes.
I'm a stand-up comedian and a comedy writer. And that's what I've been doing for the last 20 years. And well, actually, I guess if you take the last year out when I didn't work at all as a stand-up because of COVID, and then the last 19 years.
Yeah. And a surfer.
I surfed this morning.
I see here we have the Zoom going, and I could see some surfing stuff behind you. Surfing.
I got the
ephemera.
For those of you who can't see, I've got the old poster for The Endless Summer.
Yeah.
And I got a skateboard deck from an old surfing, skating TV network called Fuel TV I worked on.
Oh, yeah, I remember that channel.
Yeah. So surfing was not impacted by the pandemic, right? You were still able to get out there?
Well, they actually closed the beaches in Los Angeles this isn't a political statement at all. Gavin Newsom just handled it poorly and just did a blanket nobody go to the beach kind of thing throughout all of California. Well, almost all of California. Orange County was open. So I would drive down there every day and surf, which was great because there's no traffic because everybody was on lockdown. Mm, so what would normally take me 2 hours took me 45 minutes.
Now, Patrick, have you ever been surfing?
Oh, God, no. I would never do that. I mean, I go up, about to my waist if I need to cool off when I go to the beach. But God, no. I would never do anything like that or get on a skateboard. No way.
Oh, all right. Well, I don't recommend it at starting at our age.
No. No.
No way, man. I'd love to watch anyone surf. But
so I do the boogie board thing where you just sort of ride it. And more of like a prone position. I enjoy that. That's fun.
Nice.
That's fun.
We can't be friends.
But
I'm not allowed to talk to you contractually as a surfer.
That's right. But surfing, I don't know. And it's funny, Murray.
I'm going to have to push you over.
You would probably laugh, Murray, because like out here at like Virginia Beach or Ocean City, Maryland or stuff like that, they do have like surf shops and that sort of thing. But we don't get waves like they get on the West Coast. I don't know how that works exactly.
You need those hurricane swells to really get you guys.
Yeah, that's probably the only time. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, definitely. Now my wife is from Florida, so I've been going there every year for the last 15 years, and I've never caught waves. Never caught waves because she's on the south. She's down in Fort Lauderdale, so it's kind of they need the hurricanes also.
It's amateur hour over here. Okay.
Yeah.
And anyway, and for me, I'm a kid from Ohio, so what do I know about surfing?
That's right.
Yeah. They don't do that on Lake Erie. Now, here's what we want to get to. We got to get back to music. And Murray here has a new web show that I watched last night on YouTube. It's called For What It's Worth, and it's music related. I'm going to let him describe it, but I found it to be very entertaining. And so this will be fun to talk with him a little bit about it. So Murray, tell us about For What It's Worth.
For What It's Worth is the only music and comedy game show that matters. it started out as just I was looking for something. I had a podcast called Road Stories for 11 or 12 years. I got into podcasting early on. Yeah,
I didn't know this. I had no idea.
And they're still up. You can catch them. All the best working comics today telling crazy, crazy road stories.
Love it.
So I got tired of it. I did it for 11 years. I got tired of talking to comics, my friends. So I retired it during the pandemic, and I was looking for something to do. And I love music, and I love, like you guys, I love music. I love music trivia. I love comedy. I love games. So I just started. It started out as a trivia game, but then I started coming up with different games and other games you can play. And so it's full. It's got different games every week. It's got great comedians. It's got a few surprise musicians on it coming up. And it's a good time, and you can yell at your computer when somebody's stumbling over a very easy question.
Right. My sweet Lord. I'll tell you, Murray, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was the right length for me. I love the three categories you had. I love the presentation, the way you had it, right? That was great, Jim. I love the little interstitials with the, like, the wave form or whatever it was. But I got to tell you, here's what I was going to
criticism out of the gate.
No, this is what I was craving. My brain wanted to see everyone's score as the game went on. Because I couldn't keep track of it in my mind. I'm like, all right, she just lost three, but said something funny, and now I don't know. So for me, I want to see, like, their running tally at the, you know, on like a little thing at the bottom.
Not, absolutely not a bad note, Patrick. And we might be doing that moving forward, because I just had a meeting. It's really just me on the creative side.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
I'm writing it top to bottom. The graphics were done, but I cashed in a lot of my TV favors.
Oh, wow. The graphics were done sharp, by man. Yeah.
A graphics guy I know named Brett McVicker, who was kind really of like that. And my buddy Walker Yule is doing the editing. And it's, if this was a real game show like we do on television.
It is real.
Well,
it has to be.
You're right. Sorry.
Because I've already seen one and I need to see it again. I loved it. Yeah. So
I take that back. If this was a game show airing on television, I would have done 15 run throughs. I would have done, you know, all that. But I just wanted to get it out there. So we're going to get on there.
Yeah.
But don't get me wrong. It is a fully formed show. Undersell.
Oh, yeah. So interesting you say that you made it yourself. It doesn't feel like that at all.
No,
it feels
no.
very good. Yeah. It really feels very evolved already.
And that's what I was wondering too, is like, how much is Murray paying all these people, this team of people work
sharp.
On this show to get this thing done,
really,
man? So, yeah.
Well, there's a donation button on my YouTube channel. That's all I can say.
Well, there you go. Right. There you go.
I'm very fortunate to have worked with a lot of talented people and have very, very funny friends. So that's really a benefit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You must have a deep resource of people you can call on to help and give you advice and also appear on the show, because it was three great contestants on the first episode.
Oh, they were so good.
Yeah, they were really good.
Let's get down here to the real reason Murray's doing this show, though, I think,
right?
He doesn't want to come right out and say it, but it's really your Jeopardy audition tape, isn't it? <You're>
funny you say that. yes. My contestant either airs next Monday or this Monday, depending on when it airs, is going to be in the Jeopardy Tournament of Champions.
Oh, wow.
No way.
Week. Yeah, he's a comedian and a writer named Andy Wood.
I remember that guy. I watched him win on Jeopardy. I watch every night. Yeah.
Oh, well, perfect. So Andy's a good friend of mine. He's on next week's episode. He was able to do the last week before Alex passed on.
That's right. Yeah.
And they brought him back for Tournament of Champions and...
Yeah, because he won.
Yeah, no, it was announced. I can say it. Okay, it was announced. I can say it. Yeah, so he's on.
Yeah,
I won't say if he won my game or not.
They announced it last Friday, I think. They announced the Jeopardy Tournament of Champions. And then I think they're going to go into summer reruns, and then we'll see what happens with LeVar Burton, apparently, is the rumor. But whoever's editing this, cut that out, what I just said.
Boy, I tell you, it was... when Andy Wood first started on Jeopardy, it was such a great, like, just distraction and have something to root for in the middle of COVID and lockdown. Yeah. It was, my wife and son watched it every night. It was, it was really good to root for, have somebody root for.
Are comedians typically good, like, at trivia?
There's a little secret about comedians. We all secretly want to be rock stars. So the knowledge of music runs deep in a lot of comics. So they tend to know a lot more than they tend to be music geeks and nerds like us. So
And that's where I've learned everything that's worth anything in my life anyway, is from records. So.
Well, and I also figure to be funny, to make a career being funny, you have to know a lot of things that other people don't know, I think, right? Or you got to notice things or pay attention to things or, you know.
Yeah, it's one of the few jobs where you literally can use everything you know. Hmm.
Yeah.
Like everything, you know what I mean? Like something will pop. I remember somebody brought up a little town and yelled out a little town in Canada that nobody had ever heard of. And I just happened to have lived there for 2 months years ago. And I riffed on that. I riffed on Okotoks, Canada for like 20 minutes. And I will probably never, ever talk about Okotoks, Canada again. But it just happened to be in my brain when somebody yelled it out. You can use almost everything you know. And it helps.
Okay, so you conceived this show, and you want to describe the different segments that you have that you put the people through?
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. Thank you. There's three sections. It's the rock wall.
Yeah.
Then the mashup, and then the jam. And the rock wall is a kind of like a Jeopardy wall.
Yep.
Which has categories, and that's a constant. The rock wall is the first game every time, and that's the trivia. And the trivia isn't straight up like who played based on 40 by U2. There's twists and left turns and turns in there.
All right, take the money and run, Tony Thaxton. How much of your advance are you willing to wager?
I'll go four.
Four. Oh, balls to take the wall. Here we go. Take the money and run. George Harrison was sued for copyright infringement for his song My Sweet Lord. The lawsuit claimed that that song was a direct ripoff of which song made famous by the Chiffons? It wasn't Dear Mr. Postman.
Oh, boy. I'm ashamed of myself because I think I do know this, but I am spacing right now. I got nothing.
Oh, does anybody want to make Tony Thaxton look foolish?
Oh, look at Mary.
Oh, Mary Gallagher for no points.
He's so fine.
Oh, I thought you said he's so fun. And he is so fine.
He is
no
so
points.
Fun.
No points for Tony Thaxton. Did you know that once we said it or once Mary said it?
I don't think I did, actually. I thought I did, but I was wrong.
He's so fine. And he actually lost. He had to pay it out. And I believe he tried to throw, the keyboard player under the bus.
Billy Preston. Do I get four Billy points Preston. Back?
Billy Preston, 4 points.
And then the mashup is, this is where I let the comics bring their own funny. So I give them, I'll take really bad albums and get rid of the titles and let them come up with funny names for the titles.
You guys, I'm like 10 steps ahead of you, and that's why I'm losing.
All right. Can't argue with that logic. Andy Wood, what do you have for an album title?
This album from Ruidos was a critical darling. It was called Not Okay Computer.
Oh. Very good, very good.
Andy Wood.
Awesome, brother.
Excellent.
And then the jam is usually a fast-paced kind of 60 seconds on the rock clock, like name as many bands you can name with a number in the title, or we did Scramble On, which was a scrambled up band name, or the lineup at Woodstock. You know, stuff like as you can get under 60 seconds.
Right.
Yeah. And so the games change every week. The games will repeat, but they're in different forms every week.
Okay, got it. I loved that. I think it was the middle segment, Murray, that you were allowed to award the points.
Yes.
To me, that was cool.
That was the best. that's what every game show host wants in life, and, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. This is my show. If you don't like it, suck it, man. Whatever.
I've worked with comedians a very long time. If I don't show some dominance, I will lose the show.
Yeah. And I'll tell you one other thing, guys, for those listening who aren't already hooked like me, the contestants can actually wager. They start with a, you know, it's similar to poker in some ways. They start with a, you know, a buy-in.
An advance, everybody's got an advance.
Yeah, everybody's got the equal amount of chips, if you will, and you can wager from 1 to 5 on certain questions. And as Murray said, the categories take a left turn. So, right off the bat, Murray was like, oh, this is going to be Beatles heavy, so, you know, maybe I won't bet much. But, of course, the question was about Kiss.
Right.
Now,
right.
I just want to address one thing you said there, Murray, about not liking Kiss.
That makes you a star on the show. Absolutely.
Now I've got two guys against me, Jim.
That's right. And I have the power to mute you, Patrick.
I always like to say this to the members of the Kiss Army. They're doing fine without me as a fan. They don't need me. They don't need me. Maybe I'll throw Jim in there. They don't need me and Jim.
That's right.
Plus, of course, Gene Simmons sold his kidney stone. Of course he did.
Of course he did.
Yes.
How much do you think his corpse is going to go for? I mean, come on.
It's already been sold to like a cryogenically frozen company.
I will say this. I did see Kiss. I want to say the 1999 to 2000 New Year's Eve show.
Wow.
Because I mean, as a music fan, somebody you got it. Their acts you got to see. You got to see Dylan. You got to see Kiss. You know what
of
I
course.
Mean? So
I
went and it had Ace and it had Peter and that.
Oh,
so
great!
It was full lineup. A little
that's awesome.
Jowled and a little overweight,
of course.
But
But hey, you were there. I mean, similar, you know, to seeing Dylan, like you said, it's one of those things. Take your kids, folks. Take your grandkids. Got to see Kiss.
Sure, I will say this:
be planned next year.
I saw Kiss once, and I saw Dylan 3 times, and Dylan was as good as many times as I saw Kiss.
Wow, is that right? Yeah. Yeah. He could definitely do that, too.
1 out of 3, though. That's probably...
That's not bad.
What you get out of Dylan.
That's pretty good. Yeah, yeah. Pretty damn good.
Okay, here's what I want to do now. Patrick doesn't know this. It's a surprise to him. Murray doesn't know this. Surprise to him, too.
Okay.
I'm gonna pit you guys against each other in some music trivia. Okay.
Thanks. Yeah.
All right.
All right. And
sure.
These questions are not researched by me. I'm pulling them out of these boxes here.
Okay.
Game Room. Ridley's Game Room is the brand, and there's a box of 90s pop music, and there's a box of 80s pop music. So you're gonna get your choice.
Oh.
And you can pick from either box, and I'll pull a card at random. And what do you want to do? 3 questions each? Does that work?
I'm going all in.
We'll see where we are. Okay. Oh, do you want to wager this? No, we'll just do a simple point system, right? Okay.
Joking.
Oh, you want to put a dollar on it?
Can I borrow a dollar, Jim?
Okay. So let's start with our guest.
Then yes.
Okay. I don't know. Is it an advantage definitely. To go first or second? Would you rather go first
know.
Or second, Murray?
I believe it up to you guys. I'm a guest on your show, so I abide by your casino rules to bring the poker analogy back.
All right, we'll have Murray go first. Okay.
Yes.
So you can pick 80s or 90s pop music.
They're both pretty much my area. I'm going to go 80s, though. I'm going to go, '80s pop, though.
Get
I don't know what these questions are either. I'm just pulling them from this.
All right, I'll just go 80s.
This prepackaged, game, right? Okay.
Sure.
Okay, here you go. In the UK, what was the best... This is multiple choice, by the way. In the UK, what was the best-selling album of the 1980s? These are your choices. In the UK. Okay. Dire Straits' Brothers in Arms, Michael Jackson, Bad, Queen Greatest Hits, or Michael Jackson, Thriller?
Oh, those are all good answers, right?
Damn, that's a ball buster.
Yeah,
Pardon my French.
I just got to go Thriller.
That is wrong. The correct answer is Dire Straits, Brothers in Arms.
What?
Oh,
right there.
Wow. That's interesting.
Okay.
I actually listen to that album more than I listen to Thriller, so I'm down with that.
So that score is 0-0.
Yeah, I've argued that's one of the best albums of the... It's always in my top four best albums of the 80s.
Wow.
Okay, Patrick, you're up. 80s or 90s?
I will go with 90s grunge.
No, it's not that specific. All right.
Oh, okay.
I pulled one out here.
I'll take 80s.
Oh,
I'll take
80s? Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
All right, 80s. 80s for Patrick. With which area of Edinburgh are the Proclaimers associated? Okay. Oh. Here are your four choices. Wow. Newtown, Portobello, Leith, or Old Town?
Leith.
That's correct.
Oh, I'm getting skunked.
They had an album called Sunshine on Leith.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
There it is.
All right. All right. So that's one for Patrick. Murray, you want 80s or 90s on this second question?
Well, I went 80s. So I guess to be fair, I should go 90s, right?
Okay. All right. Here we go.
Which I'm less confident about, and I've already lost in the 80s.
So. Only one at random. Okay. Here we go. Which band released the album Dookie in 1994? Was that Green Day, Nirvana?
Green Day.
There you go. Yeah. That was pretty
good. Softball question. I'm kidding.
Whatever.
Well done. I'm too afraid to go to the 90s, too.
All right. So 1-1. Second question for Patrick. 80s or 90s?
I'll go for 90s, too.
All right.
Murray was brave.
All right. The Prodigy's song, Voodoo People, featured in which of these films?
Oh, boy.
Oh, interesting.
The Bone Collector, Sneakers, The Net, or Hackers?
Well, they all seem to be cyber thrillers.
Right? All around the same time, too.
I know. Which was Sandra Bullock in? I'll take The Net. Damn it.
Hackers.
Oh,
Hackers.
Hackers? I don't know if I ever saw that.
I don't know if I even heard of that. Okay. Magic people, voodoo people. All right, so here we go. We have a tie heading into the third round.
This is
1-1. Okay.
Yep.
All right, so Murray, where's your strength here, 80s or 90s? What do you think?
Well, just to be fair, I'll flip-flop and go back to the 80s.
All right, here we go. In 1981, Miles Davis released his first album since 1975. What was it called? Bitches Brew, Kind of Blue, A Love Supreme, or The Man with the Horn?
I'm familiar with two of those. I don't know the dates on those. I'm going to go Witch's Brew.
It is The Man with the Horn.
Oh, I was going to go with The Man with the Horn.
He's the man with the
Okay, Patrick, here's your chance.
Jazz question.
Yeah, I know.
I know, right?
Did you know the answer to that?
I did, but
okay.
But I'm a jazz guy.
I know you are. Okay.
All right.
I can tell from the hat.
I got to go 80s.
Give him a Thelonious Monk question.
There you go. I'll go 80s.
80s.
That's my strength.
Oh, this is good. Okay. All right. If you get this, you win the dollar.
Sweet. And a new Dodge Ram.
That's right. Which band was formed by Peter Gabriel, but only really achieved stardom after he left? Is it?
Oh, no.
Is it? Revelations, Deuteronomy, Exodus, or Genesis? And I swear I pulled this at random out of the
Oh, my God. That's box. Unbelievable that you pulled Genesis at random, Jim. That's so
I'm
weird.
I'm not even going to.
Because I don't like Genesis that much.
Genesis.
Get Giuliani on the phone. I want to recount.
Find me some votes in Georgia. It's ridiculous.
All right. Well, that was fun. All right. There
did
we go.
Your hands sting when you caught that softball. Is that
they did. Yeah. I almost passed out. That was
fair
ridiculous.
Enough. I did get dookie, which is pretty much a given. So.
Oh, no. That was fun. Yeah. It was totally fun. And you know, that was great, Jim, because that's the spirit of what Murray's Game Show is. It's so fun. I mean, I really want to binge the whole season one right now. So if I possibly could.
So tell us, Marie, tell people where they find the show.
I put the full episodes, and the episodes they're coming in between 20 and 25 minutes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Great length. Yep.
I don't know how I got the short attention span of a millennial, but leave them wanting more, I always say. So I try to keep them closer to 20, 25. But, you know, it's a lot of times I get some really funny guests on, and it's hard to kill some of the comedy. So every once in a while they'll go like 28, but yeah. You can get the full episodes at my YouTube page, Murray Valeriano. I drop promo clips, little short games and questions at Murray V on Twitter, Instagram, Murray V Comedy, and TikTok, believe it or not, because I'm a 16-year-old
wow.
girl.
Sweet. Now, Murray, I got to ask you before we let you go, what was the first, you know, like musical moment you had in your life? I mean, I've told this many times about me and Johnny Cash and Ring of Fire, but what, when you were a kid, was like, man, I understand music and records?
Well, unfortunately, that's a long answer, so buckle
up, people.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
No. All right. A little background on me if you're not familiar with my work. I grew up the son of a Southern Baptist preacher. I lived a very, very sheltered youth. So I was I grew up in a house where rock and roll was the devil's music.
Hmm.
Actually, I used to go to anti-rock rallies, which is a whole other story. I wrote a review of AC/DC's last album because I loved it so much. And it talks about that. You can get that on MurrayValeriano.com.
Sweet.
And Facebook. And it talks about that. That's the only reason I bring it up. But I remember being, you know, told it's the devil's music. And I remember being driven to school. And I don't know why the radio was on, but Let It Be came on.
Hmm.
And I didn't know what Let It Be was. And I was probably first grade, second grade. And I remember just thinking, what's wrong with this song? Like, why is this the devil's music?
Right.
And from that point on, I was a huge Beatles fan. Of course, I would have to go sneak around and find them and all that. But that was it. That was, I think, was a very pivotal moment in my love for music.
Wow. That's a beautiful story, man. That's intense. Yeah. Hearing it in the car as well.
And I also have to follow this up with my dad has come full circle and now is a huge music fan and
is
a retired
right?
preacher, plays in a bluegrass band. So
nice.
I always have to give him the credit of the pendulum swinging both ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes people forget that, you know, music is praise in many cases, you know. I mean, it's
absolutely
spiritual music is a big thing.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Murray. This has been great.
Thanks, Murray.
A lot of fun.
This is so much fun, man.
I've been looking forward to this for a long time.
Oh, thank you, man.
Oh, well, we should have done that sooner. Now, as Murray mentioned, go to YouTube, search for Murray Valeriano.
And, do it right now, folks.
Yeah, do it right now, and you can find, for what it's worth, a music comedy game show. I have that right? Okay.
Great.
Yes, sir.
And the Buffalo Springfieldism of the title is also beautiful, so...
Yeah, and that's
thank
nice too.
That was a
good
idea.
I love
those guys.
That was a good idea.
I love that.
And they don't really win anything. So
yeah, for what it's worth, you know, wasn't bad.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's great.
And when you're watching the show, have a pen and paper handy. You can keep score on your own.
Oh, there you go.
It's interactive that way, right? All right. Well, thanks very much. Everybody go check that out for what it's worth on YouTube. And also, you mentioned your website is MurrayValeriano.com.
MurrayValeriano.com. I'm more active on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, which is all at Murray V or at Murray V Comedy.
There you go. Okay, cool. Thanks,
absolutely.
Man.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well,
thanks, guys.
Dude.
This was great.
Stay well, and best of luck with the show.
Thanks, man. Thank you very much.
All right. It's
thanks, Murray.
It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
With us has been
Murray Valeriano.
And we'll talk to you all later.
And I'll say this, folks, and, you know, just totally on the level as I always am, Murray is a very attractive man, and that helps.
I'm glad somebody brought it
this
up.
This is why we do this is why we do an audio program, Murray.
There it is.